Moncrief on News Talk.
The vast majority of people would say they're in favour of free speech, but within that you'll often find wildly different definitions of what that is. Often free speech can mean the freedom to say what I think, but not the freedom to say what you think. And within certain liberal democracies, there are signs that freedom of speech is being curtailed. Mary Lawler is UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights Defenders. Afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon.
What's your definition of free speech?
Well, it isn't my definition. It's a right that is protected by law. So it is a universal right that applies to everybody without discrimination. And there are several elements of it. There's the right to hold an opinion. There's the right to seek and receive information, the right to access information, and the right to impart ideas and information of all kinds. And it is the state's duty to uphold that right. Now, obviously, this means they have certain legal obligations vis-a-vis the right. But what is protected under freedom of expression is not a matter of anyone's opinion or anybody's decision. It's a universal right contained in law. And the right is not absolute. There has to be a balance. It can be restricted, but only under certain circumstances and specific conditions and for specific reasons, which have to be laid down in international human rights law.
Mm. And what are the restrictions, though?
The restrictions are basically the easiest way to describe it is that the state A is responsible, and their response to whatever restriction they want to bring in must be proportionate. But the restrictions are the following. So one, it can be to protect the rights and reputations of others. And the second is the protection of national security, public order, public health or morals. But even if, you know, these restrictions can apply, they have to be, as I said, provided by law. And the law must be.
Yeah, but morals, though, is kind of a vague one. And morals varies from country to country, of course, isn't it?
That's why we have international human rights law. That's why the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was adopted, to which all member states who joined the UN agreed to. And then the two covenants, the Covenant on Civil and Political Rights and the Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights, they give force to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And most of the states of the world, 174, including Ireland, have ratified these covenants. So they are obliged to implement them in the way that their laws must be in accordance with international law.
Yeah. Now, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of controversy in Germany about pro-Palestinian protests. Now, and this has been a controversy not just in Germany, but in many parts of the world. When people chant from the river to the sea, or from the river to the sea, you know, and they add on extra words as well. Now, that statement in itself can be interpreted in many ways. So is that freedom? Because one interpretation could be that calls for the eradication of the State of Israel and by extension, perhaps a call for genocide. Is that protected under free speech?
I think you're jumping to conclusions there. I think you're actually giving your opinion there.
But no, I'm not. I'm not giving my opinion there.
I'm giving
the opinion of the interpretation of many people of that statement.
Yes, but what I'm saying is it's not up to interpretation. It is.
Is it not?
No, it is. It's protected. The right to free speech is protected as a fundamental right of non-discrimination.
Right, okay.
And it's only in severe cases that right can be restricted.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to what some people, it doesn't mean that, you know, you can only say what everybody agrees with. You are allowed to be critical. part of the reason this right was brought in, I think, originally was because it is a check against power, and it's a check against governments who are abusing power.
Mm.
So people have different opinions about lots of things all over the world. And there are so many double standards going on politically. Like, for example, you talked about Germany there. I met with Palestinian protesters, some of whom had been criminalised, including one young Jew who said, I'm a Jew against genocide. The universities, you know, they were protecting the protesters, and they were solar plexed. One woman had her cheekbone broken. There's violence in the management of these protests in Germany, and criminalisation. And this is an attempt by the German government to mute criticism of Israel, and also to play to the far right, because as we know, the politics have changed in
Germany. Isn't that an opinion you just expressed there, Mary, rather than they are playing to the far right, or it may be for reasons we all know, very acute such cultural sensitivity.
But if you look at the reality, what has happened over the last number of years is the far right have hijacked freedom of expression to suit their own ends.
Mm.
They talk about an absolute right to freedom of expression, which isn't there. And so when it comes to Germany, for example,
doesn't that kind of play into that argument that the far right will always argue, oh, there's freedom of speech, just not for us? That freedom of speech really means liberal freedom of speech.
Yes, of course he will. And that is why I keep getting back to the standards that are supposed to govern speech and freedom of speech. And for example, the new German Prime Minister, he said that he would welcome Netanyahu to Germany, and he wouldn't be arrested. This is despite the fact that Germany are a party to the International Criminal Court, and he is wanted by the International Criminal Court. And I don't for a minute excuse the atrocities carried out by Hamas on the 7th of October. But the context now is that over 50,000 people, most of them women and children, have been killed. So for the German government to talk to people like me, which they do, and tell me how they are upholding international standards in other countries far away, but they won't go near Israel because they have a historical policy, because of their history, to always support Israel no matter what.
Yeah. Say in Ireland, for instance, that there's a lot of controversy about trans rights, and there's a body of people who say that a trans woman isn't a woman. A trans woman is a man. And the trans community will say, you're basically saying I don't exist, and that's hate speech. So where do we draw the balance there in terms of freedom of speech?
It is really difficult always, and I acknowledge that, because, as you say, there are so many different views and different ideas about, you know, who's who. And as you said, with trans people, I mean, and the whole debate about transphobia and, you know, sex or gender or whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, Article 1 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights says all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in a spirit of brotherhood.
Mm.
That means all, no matter who they are or whether they themselves have decided that they are trans. And I've met trans people, lots of them. I was in Africa just before the Christmas, and I was talking to a trans woman human rights defender who told me that if a baby is born with part of a male body and part of a female body, they are fed to the ants on anthills. They are just brought to anthills and left there to die.
Yeah. Well, actually one of our listeners is texting in to say, is the idea of hate speech not completely incompatible with the idea of free speech?
No, no. I think you have to apply the principle of do no harm. Mm. So hate speech is one of the grounds that there can be restrictions. And that's where the government, you know, governments all around the world need to properly regulate and properly bring in restrictions on things that will do harm to other people. So hate speech or propaganda for war is another one, or, you know, advocacy of national or racial or religious hatred that constitutes that kind of incitement. So all these things are very difficult.
Yeah. Does there have to be that line, though, that you're saying that you know, there's a difference between criticizing a group or an individual from a group, but then saying, no, we should go and do harm to this group. We should burn down their houses or whatever.
Well, that is not up to me to decide. Yeah. That is the government's responsibility. You know, the government has to look at all the occasions where the right to free speech has been restricted or should be restricted, I should say, and decide what is proportionate. You know, what is proportionate response then, and bring in a law that it has to be clear, it has to be meaningful, and it has to be accessible. So the people know how far they can go. It's all very well giving your opinions, your political opinions, your religious opinions. You can even give your opinions on different geopolitical contexts. But it's up to the government to decide. I'm talking about Ireland here, for example, or any other government, to decide exactly how far people can go. Mary. And those people, you know, when they do decide, it has to remain in the context of international human rights standards to which they have all agreed.
Mary, thanks so much for coming into us. Mary Lawler is UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights Defenders.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.